You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires.
Clarier, a bit tough to handle there, looking to come through down at the rail. Here comes Clarier up the inside. Here's Malathot on the outside as they move down for the eighth fold. It is Clarier, Malathot, Crazy Beautiful in between those two. It is Clarier and Malathot on the outside. It's a showdown in the Shoebie that's going to go to Clarier, who comes through on the inside to win it under Joel Rosario. Malathot was second, and Crazy Beautiful finished third. The time for the mile and a furlong, 1:51.45.
That's Johnny I with the call of last weekend's Shoebie at Saratoga. Clarier defeating rival Malathot for the second consecutive race. But which of those really is the better filly right now? And is Nest the top three-year-old in the country following her dominating performance in the Coaching Club American Oaks? Plus, are you buying or selling fixed odds wagering here in the U.S.? We're going to discuss those topics and so much more coming up on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. It's all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
And a quick programming reminder before we jump into our first topic on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer. Starting next week, all of our programming here on HRN is shifting to a new home on Sirius XM. We will be heard on Sirius 216, XM 204. That's starting on Wednesday with our trainer talk show, meaning that this show next Saturday will be heard on Sirius 216, XM 204. So make a note of that. Put it in your calendar. Set a reminder. Make sure you know our new home going forward on HRRN is Sirius 216, XM 204. And of course, you can always listen worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. All right, guys, question number one. In last Sunday's Shoebie at Saratoga, Clarier defeated rival Malathot for the second consecutive race. After the race, Malathot's trainer Todd Pletcher said she came back into the paddock super quiet. She seemed to stay dull on the post parade, and for a horse adding first-time blinkers, it was just a very dull performance all the way around. He cited a potential adverse reaction to the heat as a possible reason. So are we buying that as a legitimate excuse for Malathot, or is Clarier just better? Timmy, you want it first?
Well, I was talking to Todd. I was there when Todd was talking about that. He was in the clubhouse right after the race, after he had talked with Johnny Velasquez. And, you know, a lot of horse players and people say, oh, a trainer always has an excuse if they get beat. But Todd has always been pretty straightforward, I think, with, when he gets beat. He's not one to usually, you know, try to dig up an excuse for his horse. I mean, if he says that, I'm more inclined to believe him. Who knows the horse better than he? I just think that, Todd had concerns going into the race. I mean, leaving the paddock, he saw that his horse was not what she would usually be. You know, I'm buying it. I'm buying that. And she didn't run all that horribly, but maybe she wasn't right on top of her game like she normally has been. And, you know, this was the first time she was wearing blinkers, too. I'm buying Todd Pletcher's reasoning for that. And hopefully they come back again later in the meet and personal ends.
Yeah, if Todd says it, I'm buying it. That doesn't mean if she was on her game, she was going to win. The other filly's a good filly and might beat her anyway. But I think if I was Todd, I wouldn't talk too much about a horse being flat in the paddock. That backfired once before. I can't remember the filly's name, but a Breeders' Cup race at Churchill Downs. What was her name? Tim, do you remember?
Geez, I know what you're talking about, Dale, but I can't for the life of me remember the name either. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I'll put it at you. Are there always excuses from a trainer?
I like to say there are reasons.
Okay.
You know, you guys can call them excuses in the press, but I like to say there's reasons. Yeah, you always look for a reason that your horse didn't perform the way you expect, so you can work on something and try to fix it. But with Todd, Todd's no nonsense. He'll stand up and say if he's got the best horse or not, or if he just flat got beat. And so if he says it, I'm believing it. But even with that being said, maybe if she was as sharp as normal, she might get beat anyway. That's just good mares, good race fillies. Both of them.
Yeah, and that's why I hope they meet again.
That's right.
Who's better right now? Last year Malathot was taking it to Clairier. This year Clairier has had the upper hand. Is Clairier just better than her now?
She is right now. I mean, I tell y'all want to talk about polls and opinions. So line them up and see who gets to the wire first. And they did that, and Clairier won.
Yeah, this is the second straight win Clairier has over Malathot. She won the Phipps by a head. And I know that Todd said after that one that Malathot might have seen something as they approached the wire that didn't help her any, and that's why they went to the blinkers. I guess, you know, when you look at what they've done on the track so far this year, you'd have to say Clairier is better, right?
Yeah, and you know that doesn't mean it'll end that way of the year, but right now she beat her twice, so you got to give her. She's the queen right now.
Yeah, regardless, absolutely, it's turning into a great rivalry.
Yes, that's good. Good stuff for racing.
Yeah, we definitely need these rivalries in racing. The more, the better.
Yep. All right, question number two. Moving on from that, we'll stick to Saratoga though. Nest. Talk about another top filly. She put on a show in last weekend's Coaching Club American Oaks, winning by more than 12 lengths, proving she is undoubtedly the best 3-year-old filly in the country. But, Dale, I'll come to you first. Is she the best 3-year-old in the country, period?
I can't give her that yet. She's a great filly. But she did run to Belmont, didn't win. So we're sticking with the boys for right now. It'd be interesting to see if she jumps back in with the boys somewhere along the way, but I don't see any reason for it between now and the Breeders' Cup. But what a wonderful filly she is. I'm not ready to say she's better than the boys out there right now. I think there's some solid 3-year-old boys running out there. It'd be interesting to see what happens this week in the Jim Dandy. But you know, if she was in there, would she be the favorite? I don't think she would.
And that, you know, Nest winning buttons. By, you know, a dozen lengths, you know, a lot, naturally people are going to say, well, there's the best 3-year-old, period. But, you know, I think there's some colts by the names of like Epicenter and Early Voting and Zandon that might have something to say about that. Those are some pretty darn nice male runners. And, you know, Nest might have her hands full with that. I mean, if Nest were to, you know, for argument's sake, if the Travers was tomorrow and Nest was in it, she'd probably be, I think, second choice. There's no doubt she's a quality animal. I mean, she after she ran in the Belmont when she was second, I mean, she bounced out of that. She put weight on. Normally, these horses get knocked out for a little bit after running a mile and a half, especially after a filly running against boys. But Nest is a very, very good horse. I think she's the best 3-year-old filly right now. And I think that when all is said and done, I think she runs in the Alabama, not the Travers. And maybe they try the boys again down the line. But, you know, there's too many things that can, you know, let's say she runs in the Travers and gets beat, and Secret Oath wins the Alabama. Does Secret Oath all of a sudden, you know, she's already won the Kentucky Oaks, and if she were to win the Alabama without Nest in there, I think she's the she's back as the top 3-year-old filly. So I think Nest is without a doubt right now the best 3-year-old filly. Let's not go and say she's the best 3-year-old right now yet.
Dale, if you train Nest or own Nest, would you run her against the boys in the Travers?
I doubt it. I don't think there's a lot of upside to that, unless you just want a Travers trophy and you think you could get that. But I don't, you know, it's not like you're making a stallion prospect. You're not going to increase her value. Her value is just as high as it could be. It's always going to be high. I think I would stick with Alabama, and Alabama is a great race in its own right. I'd like to have that little trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's pretty good. She's obviously exceptional, and we'll see if they do decide to go to the Travers. You know, I think Mike Rapoli might be thinking, boy, it sure would be nice to win the Travers with a filly, though.
Yeah, you can see Mike doing it if he, you know, because Travers might be, he's a New Yorker. Travers is a very important race in this state, and he might want to, he can afford to take shots.
Yeah.
I talked to Mike day after the coaching club, and he was saying, you know, he's tempted, of course, to run against the boys, but he also wants to have the rubber match with Secret Oath. And that would be obviously in the Alabama. And he said that he will run in the Travers if Secret Oath runs in the Travers. But I don't think that's not the way that Dwayne Lucas is thinking with his filly right now. Yeah, it would be great for the sport. It would be an awesome Travers if everyone stays together and the filly came in there too. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I really think that Todd and Rapoli will say, Alabama, here we come.
Yep. Yeah, well, we'll find out. That decision will be forthcoming shortly. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. But Ness, certainly the top three-year-old filly in the country right now. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, question number three. Today is the anniversary of Monmouth Park opening its doors to host their inaugural five-day race meet. That occurred July 30th, 1870. This season, in partnership with BetMakers, Monmouth, who is always on the cutting edge, they've been progressive for a long time, they announced the debut of fixed odds wagering, and last weekend on Haskell Day generated their biggest fixed odds handle to date. Fixed odds wagering is extremely popular in Australia and Europe. So, guys, are you buying or selling fixed odds wagering here in the U.S.? Timmy?
Well, I think Dale and I are going to probably disagree on this. I would make a fixed odds bet that Dale and I are going to disagree on this. I think myself betting on a horse, if I bet a horse, it's going to be 10 to 1. Yeah, I want to keep that price. Yeah, if in the tote board, yeah, he might go up, but he also might come down. I think that from the betting standpoint, if you can get locked in on those odds, that's what I want from my standpoint. And I know that Dale's going to disagree with this. I am betting on it.
You know, he likes a sure thing because him and I discussed it this morning. So, fixed odds could be the downfall of racing if it ever takes off. It's a new way of betting that does nothing but shift money from the parimutuel side to a fixed odds. The greatest thing in American racing is the fact it's parimutuel. The money's taken out of the pool, or say it's round figures, 20% off the top, 10% goes to purses, 10% goes to track, the rest is given back to the winners. That's the reason we run for such a significant more amount of money in the United States than they do in Europe, because it's a bookie-generated system. I don't see any way to fix odds can generate the revenue that for racing as a whole that parimutuel racing does. And, for example, the other day at Monmouth Park, you have both options. You can take a fixed bet or you can take the parimutuel bet at this point. Do we need to spread the peanut butter more thin on the bread? And, for instance, the morning line odds on Allingtown were 10 to 1. The fixed odds were 12 to 1, and he went off at 25 to 1. So if there needs to be one system or the other, in my opinion. You either have a fixed odds, which is nothing but a bookie system that can't generate the revenue for horse racing that parimutuel wagering does, or you have parimutuel. When you have both, it's just spreading thin and thin and thin. One, the greatest thing about simulcasting that came around is that the pools are big enough that the players can bet a lot of money on a horse in a race and not worry as much about moving the odds significantly. So what we need to focus on is building up bigger pots and the handle to be as big as possible so people can bet as much as they want, and the people set the odds, not a bookmaker.
Well, let me ask you guys this question then, playing off of that, Dale. Dennis Drazen, Monmouth Park, why would they be so adamant about partnering with BetMakers and introducing fixed odds here in the United States if it was something that could in some way work against their parimutuel wagering and work against their product?
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't know why that they want to do it. I don't know if they think it's going to drive more people to bet. I don't see. That's the problem with all the new wagers that come up. You can look. At the end of the year, we still bet the same amounts of money. Nothing has increased or brought people from that weren't going to bet into the game to bet. I don't know why they're liking it so much. Maybe it's just because it's tied with their sports betting that they have, and I don't know, but it seems to me like you probably couldn't do this in any state that doesn't have sports betting, even if you wanted to. I just think it's a slippery slope, and it's not a good place to go.
Well, I think it's devised to get new people into playing the game and younger bettors to entice them with these fixed odds. But again, myself, I like the fixed odds, and if I'm betting a horse, like again, a 10-1, those odds when the gates open, and not when all the big money comes in later.
Yeah, unless it's Howling Time, because you got screwed on that, Timmy. If you were betting fixed odds on Howling Time, obviously.
That's true, but I'd still make a good score if Howling Time won.
It how's it going to entice someone to come into the game and bet? If they know enough about the game, the difference between fixed odds and parimutuels, then they're already in. The way to entice people to get in the game is make them fans of racing first, and then they figure out they like to gamble. If they can figure out the difference in fixed odds and parimutuel, they're in the game. They're already understanding the game, and they're already playing. I can't see that somebody's going to show up and say, hey, I wasn't playing horses because it was parimutuel, but I'll play now since I'm getting fixed odds. And they might get screwed on fixed odds a lot of times, as to whoever bet Howling Time at 12-1 would have done if he would have won.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Is there a way, Dale, maybe this isn't even a question that I should be throwing out there in this forum, because we don't know all the intricacies necessarily of how that deal is structured with Monmouth Park, but is there any model out there that we know of where fixed odds can coexist with parimutuel wagering, or are they competitors?
I think they're competitors, and for the same gambling dollar. And, you know, a friend of mine writes for World Racing, not the United States. He's out of Italy. And he sent me an article he wrote about this was before there were fixed odds anywhere. He said, never let this happen in your country. It's the worst thing for racing. And he wrote an article about it in Italy and sent it to me. And he had a lot of good points in there about why it shouldn't be that way, and why parimutuel is so much more fair and even. Yeah, you might bet on a horse and the odds drop, but that's part of the gambling. That's part of how it works. And matter of fact, you might bet on the horse because the odds dropped. I know a lot of guys that sit there and watch the board, and the doubles getting the big. They watch the early the double payoffs, and you see a horse, you pick up a horse in the second half of the double where his double odds are a lot less than his betting odds. So you bet on that horse. It's been part of the game since we started over here. I think it's what separated us the most from Europe. It's why we run for huge purses here, and they run for ham sandwiches over there.
All right. Well, we'll find out how that develops over the coming months.
Not that
months,
I have much of an opinion on it, but.
Yeah. We'll see how that comes together over the coming months. Let's move on. We're down to about the final, 4.5 or 5 minutes. This has really flown by. So I'm going to move on to this little fun question here, guys. It's going to replace our food question for this week anyway. The PDJF is preparing for one of their most popular fundraisers. It's Jockey Karaoke, which is going to take place in Saratoga tomorrow and in Del Mar for the West Coast Riders next Saturday, August 7th. If anybody has ever attended this, they know it is just an outstanding event. If you guys were given the chance to get up on stage to help benefit that great charity, what songs are going to be at the top of your karaoke set list? Timmy, why don't you take it first?
Well, first of all, that event, the Jockey Karaoke is a great event, and it's a wonderful cause, as we all know. The best thing that could ever happen is that I would never get up and sing. I would never be invited to sing at karaoke anywhere. I guess if I had to pick a song, it would be The Sounds of Silence, because it would be quiet, or Hush, or maybe My Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's. That would mean I'm not singing. You don't want to hear me singing. Those are the songs that I would just stand up there and look like a mute, do nothing. I can't sing.
Dale?
Well, mine would depend on how the day went at the races. It would either be Here Comes the Sun or Hurt by Nine Inch Nails, one of the two probably. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to be tremendous, and we wish the PDJF all the best with those fundraisers. If you're going to be in Saratoga or Del Mar, trust me, you won't want to miss those two events. They're incredible. All right, it is time now to wrap up the show with a new weekly segment we launched a couple of weeks ago in partnership with our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. It is the West Point of the Week, presented by West Point Thoroughbreds. Dale and Tim have the opportunity to make one final point before we wrap up the show. And I'll remind you that you can experience the lifestyle of Thoroughbred racehorse ownership with the gold standard in racing partnerships for over 30 years. And you know I'm talking about West Point Thoroughbreds. All you have to do is text HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership. That's HORSE to 66866 to learn about ownership with West Point Thoroughbreds, and you'll want to do that now. Message and data rates may apply. Okay, guys, time for your parting shot. What is your West Point of the Week? And, Dale, I'll go to you first.
All right, my point came about yesterday. I was sitting by the cigar stand at Saratoga during the races, and it became a big storm, started raining, and someone handed me an umbrella. Everyone left and ran underneath the canopy. And I sat at my cigar stand smoking a cigar, just holding an umbrella over my head, and I was sitting there thinking, a rainy day at the racetrack is better than a sunny day anyplace else. And that's my point of the week.
Timmy.
Boy, that almost sounds like a karaoke song, doesn't it? My West Point of the week is, so far at this meet, it looks like Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown are going to go neck and neck for the training championship until Labor Day. They're right at each other. They're just about basically tied right now, and I just think it's going to be great for the fans to watch them do it the whole meet through.
All right, it should be a fantastic show.
No, I think we bet on everything else. It's a fixed odds thing, man.
Oh, okay. All right, folks. Thanks.
Dale Romans, Tim Wilkin, we'll do it all over again next week, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, if you have a topic you would like to hear Dale and Tim debate, you can email it to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and I'll work it into the show in the coming weeks. I Ask, They Answer is all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.